Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, October 17, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk a lot about communism. Communism in America. I'm not going to go into it just yet because I've got a few other things to talk about, but we really got to appreciate the fact that most Americans just really don't think about what communism is, and Lord only knows they're not taught what it is in school, in public school, that is. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and when you look around communism in America today, yeah, it's here, people. It really is here much more than most Americans want to admit. So we're going to talk about that. But first, just to kind of let you know, on Monday, I was in court Monday. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of an update on what that was about, and that's it was a long day Monday, so that's why I skipped the show Monday night. I started to try and do it, but I just said, you know, I needed to take the evening off and not do the show. So I skipped Monday night's show, and I may have to skip a show next week as well due to more fun stuff in the courthouse and the playing games in our judicial system here. We're trying to seek justice, if you will. Excuse me. But I told you, everybody, you know, I've been talking about this for a while, most of this year, since my father passed away, which was October 23rd last year, almost a year since my father's passed away. I've been dealing with a legal challenge. And I'll give you a little bit of an update, but still can't say as much as I want to what's happened on Monday. Hold on one second. Okay, I do my best not to cough and sneeze in your ear. Okay, as I think some of you will know, and if those of you who haven't heard this before, I'll go ahead and just give you the update. My father passed away last year, October 23rd, 2012. He lived in a double-wide mobile home here in Orlando, and he had two live-in caregivers. Very specific caregiver's agreement, but once my father passed away, they just thought they should take ownership of the home, and they played a lot of legal games. They wouldn't move, they wouldn't leave, the park management wouldn't eject them. It's a difference of evict versus eject. Excuse me, they were authorized there strictly for the sake of caregiving, and they wouldn't do anything to remove them. It was just, it's one thing after another, and the series of things these people did between conspiring to create a fraudulent lease agreement, a fraudulent will that was eventually recorded in the public record, but nobody knows who recorded it. I find that really interesting. You can go record a will, a last will, last will and testament for somebody here in Orange County, Florida, but nobody knows who filed it. There's no record of that. That was done in January of this year, January 9th. And then, actually in December of last year, they went to the Florida Department of Motor Vehicles and forged the title and signed the title all over into their name, because mobile homes, as in most states, are treated like automobiles. So it's a double-wide mobile home, so there's two titles, one for each side. You go to the DMV to register it. That's how you pay your taxes on it. You don't pay property taxes in the same sense of a home with land kind of thing. Real property, if you will. So there's things like that that make it a little bit different. But these people were able to, like I say, they had a fraudulent lease agreement, and this was notarized by a Florida notary public. That's a whole other story, and we have had a show on that before, but you're going to be hearing more about that. The fraudulent will that they were notarized by the same notary, who happens to be a friend of the family kind of thing. And then they went down to the DMV and transferred the title into their names. In addition to that, they used my father's account and identification for some purchases, service goods and stuff, cable TV and stuff like that. So I've been dealing with these people, and they finally actually vacated the mobile home. But the ordeal, it just, again, when it's all said and done, because I'm still not 100% finished with this, when it's all said and done, I'm going to give a very in-depth story, tell you about it, in-depth review report of what happened. but since it's not fully finished and some things are still in the making, it's all kind of limited. But what has happened is on Monday, the one individual, the two husband and wife who did this, and again, I'm not going to get into their names or any of that stuff. It's all public record. You can go out there and see. Look for it if you want to. It's she entered a plea. She was entering a plea of no contest. She wasn't going to admit guilt, and she wasn't going to deny guilt, but she was going to accept the plea deal being offered by the assistant state attorney or by the state attorney's office. But I did get a chance to speak, and I almost missed it. I mean, the judge was going too fast and going through her normal process and almost forgot, but the assistant state attorney jumped up there and made sure that I had a chance to speak, and it was quite an ordeal. Charlie Klein was there with me. He's going to be on here in just a minute to tell you what he was seeing from the background of it. He was listening while I was standing at the podium addressing the court. And I no sooner started to talk about these things, and I guess I should explain one other thing. The formal charge for these two individuals, the formal charges, were title fraud, grand theft, and identity theft. And they never talked about the fraudulent will, and they never talked about the fraudulent lease, even though through the course of the investigation, it was very well proven that they were both fraudulent. And they played into these people doing this. It proved, and the other piece, which happened later, is as part, while using the fraudulent title and lease, these people entered into an agreement with the mobile home community, a rental agreement, and then they defaulted on that rental agreement, and now I have a separate issue with the mobile home park coming after all three, these two people plus my father, who was dead when they did this, wanting to take the mobile home, take possession of the mobile home for the defaulted money of these two people. So I'm talking about these three very specific issues to show what's happening, explaining to the court. And when I no sooner start to address the court, the public defender, and this is where Charlie's going to get in here in a minute, he can tell you what he saw from the background because she was standing behind me. The first thing, I mean, I no sooner say anything about the fraudulent will, she is, objection! I mean, she just yells objection, and I mean, I probably jumped a mile when she did it because I say she was standing right behind me. And then the judge calmly says, objection overruled. And just really ignored her. And then apparently she was just doing all sorts of gestures behind me as I'm talking about what this lady did. And I keep giving the lady's name and stuff. And again, I'm not going to get into that here. When all is said and done in this whole case, including the case, because the husband has not entered the court yet to do his plea, when it's all said and done, you're going to get the very in-depth report of this event because there's so many lessons to be learned in so many ways here. But on that note, I'm going to see if Charlie doesn't mind to tell you what he was seeing in the background, because here I am addressing the court, and you just don't quite see the same thing, and you can't remember everything quite the same when you're doing all the talking, if you will. Charlie, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Charlie.
Good.
Didn't hear me?
Yeah, well, Sally was talking, I was saying naturally, like she said, sitting in the back. And when it came time for her to speak, she made a comment that the state attorney was going to grant her time to speak, and he jumped up and he says, oh, yeah, that was an oversight on my part. When he said that, or something similar to that, the defense attorney looked at him with daggers in her eyes. I mean, it looked like there was, to me, it looked like there was some... When two different organizations get together, it's collusion. There was some talking between the two of them as to what they were going to do or deny Sally. But when Sally brought it up and the judge asked about it, well, the state attorney did the right thing and stayed on Sally's side. But the defense attorney was visibly upset. Well, Sally was able to get all of her information through, and the judge from the bench ruled in favor of Sally to make sure that the defendants could not have anything to do with the last will and testament of her father or the estate or his estate anymore. It actually turned out that what happened at the very end of it, and because Sally was willing to get up and speak about this situation, that the court ruled more in Sally's favor now. And fortunately, Sally also had a friend of ours who knew something about probation and all that. And 2 years in probation and in a wheelchair, the defendant is going to have a lot of problems because she has to do some remedial training. She can't miss any of her appointments. She has to pay different costs and everything else. And so we all felt that it is better than having her go to jail, because she'd be in jail and they would take care of her and wait on her. There's only one thing that came to mind after all of this happened is, how is she going to get to the meetings if her husband doesn't go to jail and they can't drive or something like that? And next thing you know, she's going to be asking the court to provide her with transportation, that otherwise she'll miss her meetings. Because this woman knows how to play the system. And what the problem is we have too many Americans not willing to speak up and do things when you see somebody playing the system, such as what happened at Walmart with all of those carts loaded with food because the EBT computer system screwed up. But in getting back to Sally's situation, the courts were on Sally's side to some extent. However, this plea bargaining thing seems to let people who do wrong get away with it a little bit too lightly. And that's where, and all that comes from your elected officials in Washington and in Tallahassee. Okay, Sally, that's about all is that I have to say, except that the defense attorney did not like what was going on. And you did a great job, and it's really right now all in God's hands.
Yeah, it sure is. And the other part, when kind of what you were talking about, when this defender is looking over at this assistant state attorney, she's like, wait a minute, we had a deal. Apparently, you know, this is like, you know, she felt like she was being blindsided by the assistant state attorney. And, no. You know,
But you threw the monkey wrench into that. Because
exactly.
If you hadn't said something to the judge, if you hadn't said something to the judge about what's to stop this woman from coming after my father's estate, which is very little in the first place, and still causing me all of this problems for cleaning up the estate. And when the judge finally realized that, you know, you were still being left high and dry and not able to mourn your father's death because of all of this corruption and dishonesty going on, the judge went ahead and corrected the situation right there on the spot. And I would say that the state attorney and that defense attorney were probably admonished by the judge in privacy, because that is a black mark on the judicial system. But
yeah,
I got one
other
thing
guys,
I have to, okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, since you're on court case, remember that one that we did regarding the budget failure of Boehner and Harry Reid to process a budget for the United States
right.
of America as according to the Constitution?
Right.
Well, I was talking with a paralegal today, and I told him what happened, how the judge came back and says, we don't have standing, you, Terry, and myself.
Right.
Regarding filing that suit. He said, that's the way for them to dismiss the suit and hope it doesn't come back. I said, are you telling me that we should have just gone ahead and refiled that thing? He says, yes. Because all they were doing was hoping that you would not go ahead and continue with it. Because it was a very good case. Because I gave him a copy of it.
We've, we proved we had standing because at that very point in time, every citizen in America, all the legal citizens, we won't talk about the illegals in there, all the citizens had a debt of like $52,000 or $53,000 because of the national debt.
$32,000. Now we're up to $53,000.
Oh, okay. Okay. But yeah,
okay.
So we
now
are,
we're up
we
to 53.
A,
we were at
30.
We were at 32. Yeah. But anyway,
okay.
For those who are listening to this, it's very simple, and Sally has the information in her computer to send you a copy of, or you can get our copy because Sally also has that information. All you have to do is contact the show. We can send you the information on it and how to locate it. You can change it to your district. If you're in California, New York, wherever you want to do, get some people, preferably enough taxpayers, to do a class action suit and file it pro se litigant. Read it over. It's right there, and it's ready to go. And don't take a no-standing deal from the judge. You file it in federal court. This will upset the whole thing because we still don't have a budget. They're working on a budget. They're 5 years in arrears for a budget. We are another $9 trillion in debt because of it. And we need to go after everybody in Congress for failing to process. You can't, they haven't had a chance to vote on it because there's been no budget proposed to them. And in the Constitution it says, they shall not be questioned on how they vote. However, they can be questioned on how they do the job for the people. We need to start making them do the job for the good of the American people, not for the good of Congress, not for the good of the Senate or for the administration. Everything in this latest deal with the closing of the country and everything else was to hurt we the people. But if you notice, every elected official came out smelling like a rose on this thing with not having to pay for Obamacare. Their employees don't have to pay for Obamacare, but we the people still have to do that. So if you're out there and you're active and you have a group, like a Tea Party group, file a lawsuit. The only way we're going to get our country back is through removing them from office in 2014. So reelect no one and file lawsuits against them so that we can get restitution back to the people. Okay, Sally.
Okay.
It's all yours.
Well, and you know, Charlie, if you want to refile the one we did, I'm right there with you because I think even now, after what we have just gone through with this debt ceiling and this continuing resolution thing, to me right now it should be even a better time to go and file that lawsuit. So if you still want to file it again, I'm here. I'll do it.
Well, you know, I think what we should do is just go ahead and refile it, short and sweet, to the point, and say that we still have now and refer to that one, but not refer to it. Use that as a backup. You said we have no standing. Get more people to sign on to it so we have standing. Go for a class action suit, enough people to do a class action suit. And if we get enough people to sign on and we type it up right, I think we could probably do that. Because I've talked to some other people, but I think that we could possibly start doing it. And I think it would be good, and I'll ask the paralegal if what he thinks tomorrow.
Okay.
But let's go ahead and start planning it. Let's plan it because they are still hosing us around with this. One other lawsuit that I think would be fantastic we could do it right now. Sue the IRS employees who use the taxpayers' credit cards for personal items.
Yeah.
You know they're over $52 million was spent by IRS agents on the taxpayer's credit card for personal items such as Pampers, parties, and you name it while they were at home. They all get paid pretty good wages. So why we need to be able to audit every card and bring restitution back to the people. Just like the IRS agents get restitution for people who make mistakes on their taxes, penalties and interest. I think that would be a fantastic lawsuit to do, to get the right to audit each and every one of those things, because I don't think we can do it through public records. We would have to subpoena each of the credit card companies for the records of IRS, the taxpayers' credit cards. Now, that is a lawsuit I think we should really pursue.
Yep, I would totally agree. There's definitely a handful of lawsuits we should be going after, but those are two very good ones that are very relevant to everything that's been going on lately.
And see, a lawyer may not take it because it really takes a lot of research, but as taxpayers and pro se litigants, we should be able to file it because, no, we have to pay tax and penalties, and if we were audited, I was audited, but I didn't have to pay. I still had to pay off everything that I was, but I was audited. That was many years ago, and I'm sure there's a lot of them who were audited, paid penalties and interest, so they were injured. So now we go back after those who use their credit cards issued by the IRS for personal items, and we get back the full pay plus penalties and interest, because that is actually grand theft, or it could be grand theft in some cases.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting to get that out there in the media?
It sure would. That's if we could ever get the media to report anything.
Well, right now we got it on Blog Talk Radio, so maybe it'll spread from one show to another. But let's work on that one. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds
Take
good.
Care. Take care.
Okay.
God bless.
Thanks,
Bye-bye.
Charlie.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The other thing that as we were talking about the court case, there are two other things I kind of want to mention real quick, and then we'll go on to talking about communism and then everything else that's going on today. The judge, after I was explaining it, as I went through this process, saying, you know, here I'm still at risk. Right now I am still being penalized by the ongoing activity of these people defaulting on their rental agreement. And that's coming back on my father. The fraudulent will, I really stress, this is a fraudulent will filed in this courthouse right now. It's fraudulent. It's been proven fraudulent. The state assistant state attorney can tell you the investigation proved it was fraudulent. And as part of this plea, that was supposed these people could still come back, as Charlie was saying, these people could still come back and take possession of the mobile home based on a fraudulent will. And part of the deal was that they were not going to have any access to the estate. And at some point in there, and of course, you know, it's hard for me to remember exactly how I said it all, but as I'm discussing this, I said, I turned slightly to look behind me at the assistant state attorney and say, you know, I have not heard anything in this plea that is addressing this will, this fraudulent will, and the assistant state attorney knows about it, and I don't understand why this isn't part of this being addressed here. And then at that point, the assistant state attorney had to admit, yes, that was part of the deal. That was an oversight on his part, blah, blah, blah. And because it was a public defender. Now, of course, I mean, you got to appreciate the fact that these people all work together, an assistant state attorney, prosecutor, with a public defender. They're all working for the state routine, and they all know each other and all this stuff. And obviously, they're going to know people in the legal profession throughout the community. But here, there's even a closer relationship because they are working all through the state, if you will. And you kind of figure that she was probably a little bit ticked at him, thinking she was getting blindsided by him. And I don't know whether he thought I was going to be the willing to go up there and actually say it. Who knows? But people who know me knew that I was going to go up there and say it because it was wrong, and there truly should be charges filed. For the fraudulent, for what the notary public did, she if she wants to claim that she was dumb, okay, but we know she didn't check the proper ID. And then the these people's girl, their daughter, it was the notary who was a friend of the daughter who created with a group of them together, coming up with a will that gave the mobile home to the parents. It's all a very cozy relationship. But the illegality of it has not been properly addressed. But like I said, the judge, once she heard the information, and once the assistant state attorney admitted, yes, he was supposed to include it, and that in fact, yes, it was true, it was fraud, and whatever else. He didn't dispute anything I said. He couldn't dispute anything I said. And this public defender's not being allowed to say anything. And she's apparently flipping out behind me. She can't, like I said, all the gestures and whatever. Her demeanor, I don't think, was what you'd call very professional in that courtroom based on what I was being told. But the judge at that point, as Charlie said too, she was very, very specific. She included it. She was very detailed. And it was really good. So that part was good. And the truth is, it probably is going to be harder on her on probation and having to do not anger management, but something like that. And then, you know, so many hours, I think it was like 75 hours of community service, 2 years of supervised probation, stuff like that. So it's, in the overall scheme of things, it's a good result. There's a couple other things I would have liked to have seen happen, but, you know, it's not all over yet. But the main thing is because of their defaulting on the rental agreement, there's another lawsuit that's now pending, and I'm going to be fighting that one. And that'll be happening next week, so maybe next Thursday I will have another update for you. But it's in this whole process, and again, this when I go and give the in-depth report of this, it'll make a lot more sense because, like I say, I'm just saying bits and pieces of it here. But in the grand scheme of things, when you see everything that's happened here and you realize what this is such a reflection of what we as a society have become. I don't think, I'm like, when you see this is what's happening, and then you look around to see what we are as a society, why our country is falling, and the craziness of what is happening in Washington, D.C., and, you know, it just, I think it's very symbolic of what we are. And if you're like this at this lower level, and then as you get higher and higher up the food chain, these people get more and more money and power and greed and whatever else, it's no wonder we're in the mess we're in. And if we don't clean up our act, we're just not going to survive. We're not going to be the United States of America if we still are now, which I frequently challenge, and which is why we're going to talk about communism. And we can talk about any other subjects. For those of you out there, I do see one person out there in that chat room, and I'm sure she's going to hit that button on that phone. Let's see here. Okay, so Obama to get his way. Yep, of course. Of course, and we'll talk about some of this mess that happened here. And tell me if it doesn't reflect the communism of our society these days, too. But, you know, communism, and I will be with Miss Texas in just a minute. I knew she's going to want to get into this one. But and she's supposed to call in on Thursday. It's her job to call in on Thursday and share her opinion. My mother always said, everybody has a right to my opinion. Well, everybody has a right to my opinion and to Ms. Texas' opinion. When we talk about communism in America, you know, Common Core is communism. The more you learn about what Common Core, this educational program, the federal takeover of education, communism is here. We are being converted into a totally communistic, forget socialism, this is communism. Communism, and the average American is so naive about it. You would have thought that after 9/11 that people would have woke up, and even those who were children at that time when it happened would have been taught a different lesson, that you always have to defend freedom. You always have to defend liberty. You cannot let a bunch of morons go to a city, a District of Columbia, District of Criminals, excuse me, do whatever they want to do. They'll spend their money whichever way they want to on things like Common Core and things like that while they do nothing for our defense. I mean, we at one time had the greatest military, but right now what we have in that White House and what we have in those two houses of Congress, they're out there destroying our military. We have no border security. If you don't have border security, what kind of military do you have? I mean, you know, if you know what I'm saying, it's not to criticize our military for the border security, but what kind of defense? I mean, maybe I should say it that way. What kind of national defense do we have when we can't even secure the borders? And it's all being done as this process to turn this into a communistic society. And when you talk to younger people, or, I mean, truthfully, anybody, I mean, you know, Ms. Texas here, she and I are going to know or have an appreciation for what communism is from history, not that we experienced it. Myself, I never experienced communism. The immigrants who have come here in the last, I'll say the last decade, maybe the last 20 years, whatever, those who came from a communistic society and country, they're the ones who are going to tell Americans, you better wake up, you idiots. America, what are you doing to yourself? Americans, are you really this stupid? Are you really this naive? And you don't know what communism is. You think it was some kind of science fiction story of Adolf Hitler? You think it's some kind of fictional story from China? And this is all something that happened someplace else, and only in that part of the world it would ever happen, and that people are somehow different over there than they are here? Well, where did most of the people in America come from? Over there? I mean, the Indians did seem to understand liberty and freedom. They seemed to be doing their own thing quite well. And then the Europeans came over, and as we all came over and had the revolution and everything else, we brought of those who still believe in communism. You got to understand that John Ellis Bush, most of you call him Jeb, John Ellis Bush, who is a major promoter of Common Core, believes in communism. That's what his family is. The Bush family is communist. Go do your own research. Don't listen to me. Go do the research. It was Prescott Bush who aided Hitler. And it's this mentality of Americans just watching way too much TV, listening to the nutcases who report the news, because most of the time they don't tell you the facts, and not doing anything on your own to qualify what they say. I mean, if you're just going to sit there and believe anything they say on MSNBC or Fox News or CNN or any of them, then you're drinking Kool-Aid. And if you don't know what that means, go look and see. But communism, and again, getting back to this most basic, fundamental thing, if you ask the typical person, say, what's communism? Some of them won't say anything, won't even have an answer. Or some will say, oh, that's something that was over, you know, and Hitler and communist China and, you know, whatever. But the truth is they don't know. Communism is common property. You have, in a communist society, you are part of the collective. You are not an individual. In America today, you're still an individual, even though they keep changing that. Our personal liberty keeps getting dwindled down. We're probably like half a human now than what we half an individual than what we used to be. And you have the right to own private property. In a communist society, you do not have the right to own a public or a personal automobile. You do not have the right to own your own personal home. Common property. Where do you think the word community came from? Common property. It's what you share as a collective group. You are not an individual. You are part of a group. You are a serf. You are a peasant within. And the powers that be tell you what you can do and when you can do it. You have no rights. You have no choice. When you have no right to private property, you have no liberty. And I believe it was George Washington that said that. Not that exact quote, but that was the meaning of it. And go out to the founding fathers, many of them said, you have no liberty if you don't have the right to have private property. When you have no rights to own anything, to have any kind of individual rights, then you are, you're not free. You have no liberty. And that's what communism is. And Common Core is communism. They're literally rewriting history. They're literally changing the writing of amendments. They change the Second Amendment. Going out there telling kids to erase two amendments and create two new ones. What two amendments would they get rid of? What two would they keep? This is what they're teaching. They're indoctrinating the youth. They've already brainwashed a major part of the adults into a slower transition into this. But now we're going for the big step is to take from day one, as that kid walks from that school, they are going to be indoctrinated. They are going to be trained. They're not educated. They're trained. They're trained in what you're going to do in the society. You're not an individual. You do not have the rights. We're going to control what you read. Censorship, the media, all these things, it's all part of communism. And communism is here in America today, people. Wake up, open your eyes, get your head out of the sand or wherever it is, and face the fact that if we don't start doing something to defend freedom, we won't have any. It's use it or lose it, and that's exactly where we're at. And on that note, I am going to bring Ms. Texas into this discussion. Let's see if I can get her mic taken. Let's see here. Hey, Ms.
Hey, Miss Sally. I have to compliment you on your fight with the court, and I'm very proud of you for that. But I have to say one thing. I don't believe I would have let the woman get off like you did, because most of the time they don't do what they have to do when they're on probation, and they don't have enough probation officers to track them, so they get away with it. I'd have put that woman's butt in jail.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when it comes to that kind of stuff, and actually there is one more plea coming up with the husband, and I have a few other things I'm going to be throwing at this husband, and I may, before it's all said and done, I may end up saying, personally, I'd rather see this go to a trial, because I think I can get better justice through a trial than what I can with this plea deal.
Well, I believe, don't you have a right, if I'm not mistaken, you have a right to agree or disagree to accept or not accept that bargain being presented in the first place.
In this case, I didn't really have that option. The I made a case, and maybe I should have made it a little bit stronger to say that I believe this should go to a jury. Maybe I have actually made that statement that I don't believe the current plea deal is proper, which, I mean, I obviously said that to a degree, but maybe
right.
I should have emphasized it a little bit more. But I am going to get a second shot at that because of the husband being involved.
Well, so. Like I said, and having, of course, you've heard it on the news where these people, you know, they get away with what they do because they don't have enough people working to enforce those plea bargains. And unless they're tracked and tracked tightly by their probation officer, she's not going to do it. She's going to go to the court, and she's going to whine, and she's going to cry about how she's disabled and she's unable to fulfill those obligations, and she can do that. But,
well, we'll see how that all plays out, and, you know, but she does have a criminal record now, so there's that, and, you know, she pulls this game, you know, she was playing the system the whole way along. She boasted about how she knew how to rip off the system. Well, she didn't totally rip it off the way she thought. She did get caught with it, and there's still a restitution hearing to come up to, which is a whole other deal. He's not in a wheelchair. He was working prior to this. So we're going to have to see. Is it a perfect system? No. I wanted them to do time, and I had put that in as part of my complaint or request, whatever you want to call it, with the assistant state attorney. I believe they had three different charges, which were a max of 5 years each, so they could have been 15 years. And I was saying they should have had a year and a day for each charge at a minimum, even though because there's no room in the jailhouse either. They say they can't afford to do that. You know how that process gets so messy. But it's not all over, and at least I didn't ignore it. Like most people would not have. I mean, most people I know would not have taken the time to do this because it was just. It's not about the money here. This is about right and wrong and good and evil.
Because like you said, there's so many people out there that would just sat back and said, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, I'm sorry. That's why our system is in the shape it's in, because we've had too many people sit back and say, well, I can't do anything about it. So the crooks go ahead and say, well, they're not going to do anything about it anyway, so we'll just do what we want to.
Exactly, and that was really a lot of what this person said. She said, they're not going to do anything about this. There's nothing, you know, this literally playing the system. Literally, at the same time, even though she knew me, this person knew me because she was a caregiver for my father.
Right.
And she knew I was not what you'd call a passive person, that I was involved in the political stuff and public policy kind of thing.
Yeah, but she never go after her.
She didn't think so. I'm not going to try to get inside the lady's head. I wouldn't even. That'd be the scariest thing I could do. But she truly just thought that I wouldn't be able to do anything about it, or would not do anything about it. And
exactly.
It's like, again, it's not about money. And now, because of their defaulting on the rental agreement they had, now the mobile home park is trying to seize the mobile home.
Yeah.
My father was dead when they did all this, and that's a whole other mess. And I'll be in court next Wednesday on that one.
Yeah.
And I have no idea, because there were three summons ordered, three eviction notices, three summons. It was for the two of them and then my father, who, of course, is dead, like I say. And I've entered the dispute and requested an emergency hearing for they shouldn't be going after my father on this. And, again, I don't want to get into too many of the details of that until I'll give you guys an update next week.
I just want to say you're easier than me, because, you know, I would have fussed about the plea bargain. And the other thing I want to say on Charlie's thing, I would before you go through filing and drawing up a whole nother a complaint to start your suit again, I would be checking with that paralegal that he spoke to or he knows. And ask them, I do not think you have to draw up a whole nother dissertation or a whole nother, I hate it when I go brain dead.
File the whole thing all over again, new documentation.
Yeah, I don't think you have to have the new documents. I think you can use the original documents you had and refile them.
Okay. That'd be a lot easier.
I would check on that, yeah. Because you know what's the you already have the signatures, you've already got the complaint. I don't think you have to redo the whole thing. I could be wrong, but I'd check that out first. Because my brain, from the time I worked as a legal secretary, popped up and says, "No, they don't have to do all that." So check with them first before you go through all that again.
Okay.
Okay. Now.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Go ahead.
On the communism thing, I have been for months and weeks and whatever. What was it they used to call the communist radio program that went on all the time to try and brainwash our troops in World War II? Do you remember that? I can't think. There was a radio program that played all the time. It was a German radio station, and they played all the time trying to feeding the troops false information.
The only thing I ever recall hearing...
Was it something like that?
There was something called... They were called Radio Free Europe, but I didn't think that was that one. It was something else.
No, it's not that one. That Radio Free Europe was just exactly what it said. It was a new system that could be trusted by the troops.
Right.
But
yeah.
I think it was... If you're out there listening to this, get in here and tell me what it was. I can't remember it. But I remember it being talked about and being taught in school when I was in school. And I remember in the programs you watched about the wars and everything, it was talked about, and because they had this one famous radio personality that was on there. Anyway, and the reason I'm bringing it up is that's what we have today, what we're calling our news media. They did a perfect example of it today when they were talking to Ted Cruz, and this was, I was watching ABC. It's the only one I can stomach. I won't watch NBC, CBS, and all that because I can't stomach it. They're so far Obama, it's not even funny. And ABC is too, but they don't go to the links. And I was so mad because the whole time this government shutdown was, and this is what communism is, they do not give you both sides of information. And this is what they're doing to our kids in school. Communism, they induct them into believing their form of government and they're not teaching our form of government according to our Constitution. And the news media today, when they asked Ted Cruz why he did it, if he felt bad about it, blah, 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 and I have to give it to him, he didn't let them walk all over him. He told them, we'll fight again because it's the right thing to do for the people of America. And until they realize what we're fighting for, in other words, he's saying, wake up, dummies. We didn't do this just because we wanted to shut down the government. We did this because we were fighting for your rights as citizens of this country and for our Constitution. And they've been trying to tell them that all along, and people are not listening.
Exactly. Now, I was out there. I was trying to do a search on this to see communist radio kind of thing, and I'm seeing something called Eastern Bloc Information Dissemination. Eastern Bloc.
Oh, I never thought to go on.
Well, I figured, you know, you were curious, and so it's like, okay. Eastern Germany were state-controlled.
Are you Googling?
Well, Yahoo, but yeah.
Well, you go ahead and talk, and I'll look it up, because Pragda, I think, is what it was called, what the radio station's name was. But I'll do the looking while you do the talking.
Okay. I'll let you take a quick look. Okay. Yeah, this is true. What we have today, when you think about the media, the radio, and I remember when they were doing all these mergers of radio stations, Clear Channel and Comcast and all this stuff, and you try to explain to most Americans, you don't want them to do that because when the media is in collusion, they control the message. That's what that was all about. That's the way you brainwash and spew propaganda of every different type when the media – that was why we had freedom of the press. The freedom of the press was supposed to keep that from happening, but it's no different. This is communism in America. I mean, I totally agree, and it's a perfect point to talk about what is happening to news. We have censored news reporting. Anybody that thinks anything that gets reported out of Washington, I mean, bits and pieces of it, but you cannot just watch it and trust it. You've really got to ask other questions. Just like I was saying, I guess it was on Tuesday's show a little bit, where the news media covered nothing on the trucking. Truckers' ride for the Constitution, nothing. That's because it's censored. They're censoring the message. They didn't want us to hear the message, and that's what the people in Washington, D.C., the scumbags in public office, the White House occupier and these two idiotic houses of Congress, they want to control the message because they want to control the peasants. We are the peasants. We're the serfs. We don't have rights. This is communism. When they control you, health care, communism. Food stamps, communism. I mean, it's people get mad when you talk about food stamps and stuff. You know, first off, it should not be a federal program. It should be a state program. The state should take care of its own people. And you know what? If you've been starving to death up there in Massachusetts, which, of course, is one of the biggest welfare states there is, so it's not likely to happen there. But for the sake of this discussion, if you had lived the past 50 years in Massachusetts and you were starving to death, you want to go to a state that gave you more benefits, well, if you move to the state and go stand on the food line and they get, I don't think you're eligible for everything when you decided you were going to go state hopping for the most benefits. But that all goes into how you manage and distribute any type of public assistance. I really think we should let the communities and the states and the individual, and I got to stay away from the word community. I hate community because it truly comes into a communist mentality. Charity, the charity of the neighborhood, of the city, the people together taking care of each other, not it being facilitated by the federal government for sure, and not by even the state. It should be much more of a local thing of how you support people in your area. You've got to do, it's one thing to support and care for those who are in need. It's another to be a nanny state, and that I'm supposed to work two jobs so that I can feed a homeless person or a, I'll say not a homeless, but a deadbeat person who chooses not to do anything, who thinks that, you know, hey, give me some food stamps. I don't feel like working today. Here, I'm driving around in this giant Suburban, which is what they showed on Fox News. They were showing this case with this rat something, rat music, whatever the guy was calling himself. He had absolutely no problem getting, you know, $200 a month for his food stamps, and the he could have worked. He didn't want to work. He wasn't looking for a job. He was out there playing on the beach. There's something sick when you do that part. But it really comes back to communism, controlling the people, and not making people responsible, but also not making or not allowing people to have property. This thing about you're not allowed to have property, and we go back almost, I kind of got off track there talking about the media, but we've got to face the fact that we have no freedom of the press. We are being manipulated. And the Common Core thing is like the last nail in the coffin to totally manipulating and brainwashing, indoctrinating a society with everything else that they're doing. They're controlling transportation, they're controlling health care, they're controlling food, they're controlling electricity, they're controlling your ability to own a house. All these things, it's communism. We are being taken over by communism, and most Americans have no clue. Were you able to find your information there?
No, I haven't found the name of it, but I want to read just a little bit of this, if I still got it, of what I did find. And it perfectly suits. It doesn't give me the name of the radio station, but it perfectly suits. This is exactly what's going on right now in America. And if people don't believe it, they need to just look it up, figure it out. Communist propaganda in the Soviet Union was extensively based on Marxism-Leninism ideology to promote Communist Party line. The societies with pervasive censorship, the propaganda was omnipresent in every and very efficient. It penetrated every social and natural science, even social and natural sciences, giving rise to a various presidious scientific theories, whereas fields of real knowledge as genetics, cybernetics, and comparative linguistics were condemned and forbidden as bogus, I can't pronounce this word, with truths repressed, falsehoods in every field were insensitively rubbed in print. At endless meetings in schools, mass demonstrations on radio. Now, this is what's going on, but instead of radio, they're using TV.
TV and radio, but in the overall scheme of things, but yeah, definitely.
Right. That's like the global warming thing. I mean,
yeah.
They're doing exactly what they did back then. And when you watch TV, people, you can't believe what you're hearing.
Exactly. It's like the dumbing down of the American people. You've got to, public education. First off, you know, I definitely do my best to promote homeschooling. I tell anybody, get homeschooling or some kind of private education where the parents are truly engaged in it, in the process, not public schooling. We've got to get rid of public schooling. So at one point in time, it really was the great equalizer to give a true education. Education is not training. Education is, you know, truly developing the mind to think, to absorb information, to understand what's going on. I mean, yes, you're trained in a sense when it comes to the alphabet. What good is being trained on what the alphabet is if you don't know how to put the letters together and what it means? And this is really what has happened in so many respects, the training. And, I mean, I've seen this from people in my age bracket, the baby boomers. I've seen it in younger people. They don't know how to think. They don't think. They memorize stuff, which was part of the way they manipulated the education. You're being trained, not being educated to think. How do you ever come up with a new idea if you're told this is the way it is and here it is and memorize that and that's what the answers are?
And you don't have the right to think for yourself.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, and you don't have the right to think for yourself. You will only think when we tell you you can think. And if you have any ideas, they're not your ideas. They belong to us.
Exactly.
And,
go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with training. And we always disagree on something. And the reason I say that, when a mama lion teaches a cub, a newborn cub, how to hunt, she's training that animal. In other words, you're not born, it's like I told my kids the other day, the babies are not born knowing everything. That's why they have parents. Birds even have parents. The little birds sit down on their nest, and they watch the parents, and they say, I wonder how they're doing that. But that's what it takes to learn and to perform new experiences. That's the way it is to learn and to fly, learn how to fly. But they're not teaching us why.
Well, let me go and say, I'm not disputing that training's bad. Because there are certain things, and I mean, to me, when it comes to algebra and some of these math things, sometimes, in my own case, I'm not sure if I should admit this, but in my own case, as I was studying calculus and this kind of stuff, when I first going into the class to learn it, there would be a certain part where I would be trained / memorize it. Don't think about it. Memorize what it is first, and then it actually comes together as to what it means. Because I was almost too far when you're trying to understand it. At some point, sometimes you're confusing yourself, if you will. But you got to you're focused. You're going to be trained. This is what you have to do. Now, like train, don't touch the stove. You're being trained. Don't touch it. Of course, later on you'll find out why.
That's where experience is the best. Comes in.
Exactly. Here, you know, mom and dad were telling you to stay away from that stove because you're going to get hurt, but you were determined. You said, you knew better than mom and dad. So instead of listening to the training they gave you because you didn't understand at that point, you insisted on going over there and putting the hand on the burner. Ow, that's hot. Whatever. Well, then now you learn. That's the other piece of it. You learn through experience. But I don't disagree with training. But you shouldn't. It shouldn't be that you're trained strictly to do as you're told. You should be trained to think. Think means how do you come up with an equation? What if? What if this? Or what about that? Or how would you make this? How did you get to the moon? Whatever. That is when you teach a kid to think. I don't think they're teaching kids to think today. They're training them in a box where they want to control the thought process.
Exactly, and that's like they've been teaching the kids, I heard this a couple of years ago, that our Constitution is outdated. Well, why do they want our Constitution to be outdated? Anybody ever think about that?
Yeah.
You know, it's outdated. Why? I heard, you know, a kid told me that I was handing out Constitutions at a flea market they have on Town Square down here on the weekends. And he says, it's outdated. We need to redo it. I said, and who just fed you that bull? And he says, well, it is. I said, have you ever read it? Well, no. I said, well, why don't you go read it and try it on for size? Don't be close-minded when you do it, but read it. Everything it says applies to us today.
And it was intended to be limited because we as an individual, at the state level, our states, we're supposed to have more control on the way we want to live at the state level, at the city level, at the county level. This is where we control how we choose to live, not this federal government taking over everything as it has done today. Common Core, which is communism, Common Core communism is the federal takeover of education, and there's only one reason why the federal government would want to take over education, because they want to control you. They want to control the education. They want to control the thought process. They want to control the individual. There is no individual. You are now part of the community, collective, whatever you want to call it. You're not an individual. You have no individual rights. It's communism, and it's here.
And it's not going away unless you fight it. And if you don't fight it, then Ted Cruz and a handful of other senators that were willing to stand up and fight for us will have fought for nothing. And what we need to do is let those rhinos like McCain, let them know we're not going to put up with this. They're standing up saying they were embarrassed. It was the worst display of whatever. And they don't have sense enough to know. They were only doing what the majority of people wanted done.
They did know, but they didn't care because they're already on that point. They're out there trying to manipulate the society because, geez, they're there and they know so much more. I mean, you and me, we're just too stupid to know anything, right? All right, we're just these peasants out here. They know what's better for us. And, I mean, they are discussing. And, of course, I have to get in here about good old the idiot minority speaker or leader, whatever you call him, over there in the Senate, Mitch McConnell. That was bribery. It was either $2 or $3 billion for a dam. And he's saying, well, this is what Dianne Feinstein put in there. Dianne Feinstein from California is introducing his bill into this piece for a dam in Kentucky. Now, everybody needs to call McConnell's office and say, do you really think we're all that stupid? It's bribery, which I myself faxed an article to McConnell about the, it was saying $3 billion, I think it was $3 billion that he got as a sweetheart deal for coercing playing games, selling out the American people so that he could get a $3 billion dam for Kentucky. This is what kind of scum we have in the Republican Party. And, I mean, the Democrats are just as bad, but, you know, they openly admit they're scum. I mean, they openly admit what they are. You got these Republicans who pretend to be fiscally responsible, and this was bribery. We complained about Obamacare and the Louisiana Purchase and the other one, but what McConnell did was the same thing. So please, everybody, fax, email, go to his website, call his offices. His fax machine doesn't work, and this has been going on. I've been faxing stuff to McConnell's office for the past month, and all of a sudden his fax machine doesn't work. I called his office, and I reported that the fax machine didn't work. Or I said, I'm trying to send a fax, but it's not going through, and the assistant there said, the fax machine's not working right now. I said, well, who's the senator's office who's close by? And I'll send it to theirs, and they can maybe deliver it to him. So that is what I did today. I sent the email that I was trying to, the fax that I was trying to send to McConnell. I sent it to about 10 or 15 other offices saying, would you please deliver this to Mitch McConnell? His fax machine doesn't work. And I put it on the front, and then I put it all about bribery and his backroom deal where he stabbed all of us in the back. And this is Republicans, so don't blame this crap on the Democrats. This is the Republicans doing this, stabbing us in the back. And he is another reason to not give any money to any Republican campaign. No money to the Republicans, people. Make them go bankrupt and get a party out there that actually means something. Because the Republican Party is not going to do it. Well, look at who the Republican Party is: Romney, McCain, Rubio, Lindsey Graham. Is this what you want? Is this truly what the constitutionalist American patriot wants? More of that crap?
Now, this isn't what the constitutionalist American patriot wants, but this is what the uneducated American, and I'm going to call them half-ass Americans because that's what they are, in my opinion, want, because it's the money. Federal government got into the states and got into the states' business by offering money, and people were so greedy and have been so greedy for years that that's all they can see. They're only concerned in money. And these are what you have to realize, people. We can't continue to elect lawyers. Now, sometimes you're going to get a good one, like it sounds like Sally maybe has gotten lucky. But the majority of times, what you're going to get is someone who is only interested in how much fee he's going to make off of you so he can stick it in his back pocket. And this is the same practice this being used by the people you have elected to represent you in Congress. And not just Congress, in the Senate. Look at the Senate. They sat there, bills were, and this is communism. It all goes back to communism. They were sitting there with the bills, and listen closely, all the bills that it would take to run this country while they were arguing over this what were we arguing over?
The debt ceiling, the continued resolution on the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Well, everything that it would take to run this country was sitting there on Obama's desk. And Obama told you in the news conference that he held, if you were listening closely to what he said, he was not going to cooperate with anything unless he got what he wanted. Now, he told you that. He wasn't going to piecemeal. And that's what he called piecemealing. Signing the bills to so the people who worked up there could make their money, get their money, get paid. Signing the bills that it would take for our servicemen to continue to get their money. It was all Obama. It was Obama in the Senate. And you definitely have Republicans sitting in the Senate. Communism.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. It's communism. This is what this is. Total control over the people. And it's disgusting. Let me go ahead and give everybody Mitch McConnell's Washington number, 202-224-2541. That's 202-224-2541. And then let's give you one or two of his other, let's see. His Lexington office is 859-224-8286. Again, that's Lexington, 859-224-8286. Make sure you call his offices, and these people have way too many offices most of the time. They ask me, that's my opinion. I guess Louisville would be the other really, he's got like six offices. Louisville is 502-582-6304. Make sure you call Mitch McConnell and say he's guilty of bribery, because that's what this is. He stabbed every American in the back. He is the rhino. He is the typical GOP establishment. Now, I sent something else out today, and I know I sent it to you, Miss Texas, but you may not have gotten it. Or may not have read it, I should say. I faxed the same thing to a lot of offices. there's a certain amount of humor being put into it, but there was also the truth that was being put in there, too. And let me see if I can get the email open. I was calling it May the GOP Rest in Peace, RIP, Rest in Peace. The GOP founded in 1856, died on October 16, 2013. We need to face the fact that the GOP, as it once was, as it was initially founded, what it was supposed to be, no longer exists. The GOP needs to be put to rest, and we need to personally be no party affiliate, but if you're going to insist on being part of a faction, as some kind of political party, then at least you need to do something else with this Republican Party, because it ain't, the way it is now is no good. And I don't truly believe you can reform it. I think it's wonderful if people think they can. But, I mean, when you think of Republican, it was because of the Republic, what a Republic was supposed to stand for. But what has happened and what has become of the Republican Party, I don't think you will ever clean all the scum out of it. You need another solution. Whether that be the Libertarian Party, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to say, but the GOP as it is today needs to go away. And as part of that, by the way, Miss Texas, did you get that email or have you seen it yet? You may not have seen it yet.
I'm trying to get there now.
Okay. Because I also included some of the words. I'm actually trying to open my own email. I was talking about the lessons of George Washington and the political parties. And his president, George Washington, his farewell address, if I could get mine to open, it would also help. I really do need to get a new computer one of these days. I'm going to write a letter to Santa Claus and see if he'll get me a new computer for Christmas. I think I've earned one. What do you think?
I think you have. If he says no, fine.
Let me go out here and get it. Because there were a couple of sections in President Washington, George Washington's farewell address, that are so relevant today. And if you happen to find the email before I do, let me know. Because I'm quietly getting mine. Okay.
Now you got my computer acting up.
Oh, it's not. Well, it's that NSA stuff. We're talking. So the NSA is going after both of us at the same time. Okay, here we go. I will read the email. Cancel out. Read the email out there. May the GOP rest in peace. Founded in 1856 and died on October 16, 2013. Now, if you read, I have an attachment in there, and what I did is I hand-drawn, very rough sketch of a tombstone, GOP, founded in 1856, died on October 16, 2013. And then down below, I put fire Boehner, fire Mitchell, fire GOP traitor, all GOP traitors, and create new party and whatever. Because personally, I don't want a party out there, but I know that these people just have this thing about insisting on a party. And then, let's see here. Let me get one other thing going here. So you have to read the attachment, and I'm going to open the attachment in a minute because I have another message that's actually part of it. In fact, like I say, I was sending this and faxing it all over the place. But I did put this hand-drawn tombstone with a GOP. Bankrupt GOP today, that was another message. New American Constitution Party. We've got to do something with the party. If you open the attachment, you'll see my hand-drawn. And anybody who knows anything about print shop and other things, you can go out there and make something more fancy. But I wasn't trying to be fancy. I was trying to be get a message across. And then the other page to it was, have you forgotten your oath of office? And I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. This is what every one of these people swore to do. Now, with what we've seen happen in the last, especially yesterday, how many of the GOPs do you think violated that oath of office? They all violated it, but the GOP is supposed to believe in the Constitution. The liberal progressives on the other side say the Constitution's not valid anymore. Believing in our Constitution makes me a patriot. Those who refuse to honor their sworn oath of office to our Constitution are the real traitors. GOP warning. The GOP is DOA on Election Day 2014 if GOP is too weak to defund Obamacare. Well, we saw they were too weak. If GOP is too weak to stop any form of amnesty. And they're already talking immigration. The president already thinks, well, I won this, so now I'm going to go after them for the immigration. And he thinks that's what's going to happen. It better not happen, but we'll see what happens next. Now, have you been able to locate it?
I had to shut my computer and come back up, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if you find it or whatever and you need to chime in, just go ahead and jump in and tell me to be quiet and that you got something to say. And I'm sure you'd be willing to tell me to be quiet at some point. Okay, anyway. So if you agree, and here's my message on the email. Excuse me. If you agree, we need to abolish the GOP, forward this email to other Americans, and email and fax it to as many GOP elected public servants as possible. If you are a loyal American, if you are loyal to America and you are ready to defend our Constitution, you must unite with other American patriots to elect American patriots and reject the GOP establishment candidates, i.e. Romney, McCain, Rubio, Christie, et cetera, et cetera. You may want to create your own GOP tombstone things. Yeah, like I said, mine was a hand probably a sixth grader could have done better than what I did, but again, it was symbolic, I wasn't trying to be an artist. Then I have the information about President George Washington, and I'm saying we need President George Washington. I agree with President George Washington and will never, ever again be affiliated with any political party. President George Washington warned us the political parties and factions/associations would divide a united people. And the words of President George Washington, excuse me, this is all being taken from his farewell address. And so what I'm about to read here, it's section 17, 18, 20, 21, and 22. So you're more than welcome to go read it yourself. All obstructions to the execution of the laws, all combinations and associations under whatever plausible character with the real design to direct, control, counteract, or awe the regular deliberations and actions of the constituted authorities are destructive of this fundamental principle and of fatal tendency. They serve to organize faction, to give an artificial and extraordinary force, to put in place of the delegated will of a nation, the will of a party. Doesn't that sound somewhat familiar to what we've just been seeing? And continuing on, often a small but artful and enterprising minority of the community, and according to the alternate triumphs of different parties, to make the public administration the mirror of an ill-concerted and incongruous project of faction rather than the organ of consistent and wholesome plans digested by the common council and modified by mutual interest. That right there, how can that not be what we are dealing with right now? And because, I mean, in the place of a delegated will of the nation, the will of a party. Can anybody tell me that is not what happened? What is happening today is not what has been happening, especially with this last ordeal, with the shutdown of the government? Party games. And then the next one here. This is 18. However, combinations or associations of the above description may now and then answer popular ends, they are likely in the course of time and things to become potent engines by which cunning, ambitious, and unprincipled men will be enabled to subvert the power of the people and to usurp for themselves the reins of government, destroying afterwards the very engines which had lifted them to unjust dominion. Tell me that isn't what is happening right now. Somebody convince me that isn't true today. That is exactly where we are. And then the next one, this is 20. I have already intimated to you the danger of parties in the state, with particular reference to the founding of them on geographic discriminations. Let me now take a more comprehensive view and warn you in the most solemn manner against the baneful effects of the spirit of party generally. Okay, and then 21. The spirit, unfortunately, is inseparable from our nature, having its roots in the strongest passions of the human mind. It exists under different shapes in all governments, more or less stifled, controlled, or repressed, but in those of the populist form, it is seen in its greatest rankness and is truly their worst enemy. This is human nature. The founders understood human nature, understood this need for power, greed, money. You know, they understood this. And again, this is President George Washington. Now, this last piece I'll read, 22. The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated most horrid abnormalities. Enormities. That's what it is. It's really not that hard of a word. Enormities. It is itself a frightful deposition. But this leads to the length to a more formal and permanent deposition. The disorder and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute powers of the individual, and sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this deposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. I can't see how that any. There is so much right there that is exactly where we are today. And if anybody can tell me what is incorrect and what President George Washington said there, is that not truly where we are today? Is it not ruining the public liberty? Is it not destroying this company, this country? Is it not taking the will of a people for the will of a party? It just, to me, it's so true. There can be, I don't see how anybody, this is history repeating itself. And this is what the revolution was all about. This is why we had an American Revolution. And that's why they came up with this Constitution the way they did. I close it by saying, God bless America. Please, God, give Americans the strength to reject the evils of those loyal to the political parties and greed, those who so quickly and willfully sacrifice the will of a nation for the money and power for a few. That is what we have in Congress and in public office across this country. But everything we have seen going on in Washington, D.C., this is what it is. These people who are the selfishness through their own need for money and power, they will destroy this country. They are destroying this country if the will of the people do not stand up and take over. If the will of the people continue to be suppressed, if we continue to let them take the guns away and all these other things, it's communism. It is communism. I don't know how else you can explain this to people and make it any more simple. This is what it is. And you know, you see this, you can see it at this political level, but it happens at the local level when you get people who are no longer principled. And that's what we have become, a very unprincipled society. And that's why they said, and it was George Washington, President Washington, George Washington, who repeatedly said, a free society has to be a moral society. If we don't have that religious support, if we do not truly believe in a supreme being and a greater standing of living or whatever, I don't want to say standing of living, but belief, core belief of what is right and wrong, what is good and evil, we can't survive. Then you will fall into a communist society where there's going to be that dictator who's going to tell you what you're allowed to do and who's going to keep all the serfs and the peasants in order. And by doing the only way they do that is by controlling everything you do, controlling what you own, throwing you a few peanuts here and there to keep you living. But you will have no individual rights. You will have no individual property. That's communism, and that's where we're heading based on everything that's going on in this country today. Now, on that note, I'm going to take a breath and see if Miss Texas wants to join in. Where are you at right now?
Well, I found one your email with a rest in peace, and that is so good. you said everything so eloquently, and that I can't say eloquently. I just put it in Texas style. People, if you don't get off your butts, we're going to be saying Heil Obama. That's just all there is to it. And if you don't, grandparents, your kids are working two jobs right now because our economy is so good and Obamacare is so great that your people who are working 40 hours a week are going to get cut down to not 39 hours, but 30 hours a week. So if they won't have to pay this high cost, low-cost Obamacare, and they don't have time to go up to the schools and see what's going on. So, grandparents, you've got plenty of time. You're running up and down the roads and you're seeing the world and all this. Well, stick at home, go to the schools, see what they're teaching your kids or indoctrinating your kids too. They're not teaching anymore. They're indoctrinating.
And I think Glenn Beck, excuse me, real quick, Glenn Beck was talking about Common Core again on his 5 o'clock show today. And, he, I mean, he gets into it. He gives you the proof. He gives you this, you know, and it's kind of like if you don't, you know, people want to talk about the conspiracy nutcases and the loons and all this other stuff out there. But when you when it's right there in front of you, when you have the facts and then you can go out there and validate anything that's being said on your own, then maybe you start to believe. And I really wish people, I mean, I believe the information that Glenn Beck has been putting out there on Common Core has been excellent because he gives you all the references. Go out there. Don't believe what he says. Go check it yourself. But and once you start checking, you see what he's saying is true. Then you give him the credibility for what he's supposed to say, and you really have to learn what Common Core is. It's communism. It's the indoctrination, total conversion, transformation into communism, which we all know, isn't that what our good King Obama wanted to do, transformation of America, taking it with the what they're doing with health care. And on that note, I'll let you get back in there because I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. The other thing, I believe this has proven to be a bigger job than he thought it was going to be. I believe we are not just being pushovers as Obama thought we would be. But there is one thing out of all this that just took place in Washington that we need to take a good look at, and I'm going to say I'm proud. I'm proud of the few, and it's just a handful, of new congressmen that were elected, and Cruz is not a congressman, he's a senator, but that we elected this last election, the few conservatives we did manage to get elected in and put into office, and we have to give them credit. Even though we didn't get what we wanted, they did stand up and fight for us. If they hadn't stood up and fought for us like they did, you know, everybody would have been happy, but three-quarters of the people out there, they're standing up and happy and saying, oh, I'm so glad this is over with. I can get my checks. I can go back to work. They're the people that don't understand what the battle was for. They don't want to understand. All they're concerned about is their own problems. Well, communism is your problem. And it may not affect you as badly as it is your grandchildren, because this next generation coming up are the ones that's going to have to start paying for this. And your great-grandchildren. And it's as much your responsibility as it was for my grandparents and my great-grandparents to fight for this country and to keep it the republic and the great country that it is. That's why they want to take us down. They are jealous of us. It's not a matter of we're so bad, as the kids are being taught in school. It's a matter of we're so good.
That's right. At one point, we had the biggest middle class in the world and the most successful, highest standard of living of the middle class. And I don't know where we're standing in the world today. We know it's not what it used to be, but that was that article, you know, I've read in the past, 350 million people versus 545, that we have the power to do it. And yeah, I totally agree, too, with two other points that you made, and I'm totally agreeing that this the war has not – the war for this country, the true war saving this country is not over. This was a battle. And we all knew it was a rough shot going into it. We knew the odds were against us in this particular battle because of Harry Reid and John McCain. You know, one Democrat and one Republican. We knew that it was going to be rough. But we did manage. We were able to get the people involved enough and those who truly wanted to do the right thing in Congress to speak up, to stand up and to push. Boehner never wanted to push back. these people are acting like Boehner did some wonderful thing. He's fearing for his job as that speaker. And right now, the way what he's done, well, if he continues on the path he's going to be, we'll end up having Pelosi being speaker again if he's not careful. But he didn't want to do any of this. So this isn't Boehner. But this was, he was pressured so much, and it was all because of so many of us getting involved and speaking to it. And these were people who actually follow what's going on and have a clue and not just standing in line waiting for a free phone. So they were forced to take a stand because the people were uprising. And there you have those, the Ted Cruz. Rand Paul's kind of, he's out there on the same side as Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, but he definitely wasn't the one on the front line talking about this nearly to as much, but he was definitely on the same side. But you've got a group of them that truly believe what this is all wrong and are willing to stand up and vote against it. So we've got that going there.
We've talked before about knowing who you're voting for, vetting, and if you don't know what the word no means, all it means is a big fancy name for find out who this person is, find out who they really are, find out who they've acquainted themselves with over the years, find out what they've done over the years, what type of a... And most of them running are people who have already been in office. It's Ted Cruz is not one of those. And I'm going to have to tell you, when he was first started running, I didn't know if I trusted him or not. Now, I'm going to have to say, I'm going to fight for him. Because he had the audacity and the gall and the nerve to... basically tell him to kiss his butt. He was gonna try and get people to stand up and fight for what he knew Americans wanted. The news media is trying to blame this all on the Tea Party. It's not the Tea Party. The Tea Party, it is in a way. But the reason I'm going to say it's not the Tea Party, because the Tea Party only stands for the fact and fighting for conservative government. For less government. That's all they're doing. Now, the news media wants to think that make you think that they're bringing the world to an end. Well, this is all propaganda that's being fed to them by Obama. And they know it is, but they're not reporting it.
Exactly. And, you know, we've got these people. We've got to definitely support these who are leading the charge. We have got to continue to rally behind them so they keep going, knowing that it's not a wasted effort. But I do believe, too, the other part you said, this King Obama there, the White House occupier, he really didn't think that enough people were going to push back at all.
No,
and
he
didn't. Have pushed back. Exactly. He thought his sweet talk and all this other garbage was going to have everybody so brainwashed and whatever else that we're just going to follow whatever he says. And the American people are not doing that. And so we have an excellent opportunity to save this country, but it is up to the people, and it's up to us to demand much better out of these people in public office. We must not let the same scumbuckets stay in public office, and we've got to be aggressive in vote voicing our opinions and things like that. We've got to keep going on. We've got to keep pushing. So I do think that's it. The other thing in reference to all this health care mess, you know, they kept talking about that this was taken away from the problems of the health care. Last night, a doctor was on one of the talk shows, don't remember which one now. The doctor has, Medicare has told the doctor that they're canceling him to provide services for Medicare. What is happening, and the letters that people are starting to get saying that their insurance is being canceled, and it's going to hit the fan so much. If we could actually have enough of the Ted Cruz, Rand Pauls, Mike Lees out there, and Steve King on the other side with the congressional side, you know, I mean, we got some good people out there who are truly fighting for us. We got to keep moving forward with that. Because what is going to, I mean, what is already happening? Forget the online technology glitches they have that they can't do, which, by the way, they had a Canadian firm do it. They didn't even have it done in the United States. Doesn't that tell you something right there? Communism. We're not going to take care of the people right here. But it's going to be so much worse because now the doctors are being thrown out. Here the doctors were already leaving, and now they're telling the doctors that they're going to throw them out.
What they've done is they've looked into their background, and they're looking at their party affiliation, and they're determining that they don't want them because they can't trust them to follow the communistic role that they want them to play.
Exactly.
I talked to this weekend. I struck up a conversation with a vet. And we were talking about Obamacare. Don't ask me how I got him on the subject, but I did. And he said, well, he got on the phone and he went on the internet and he applied. Now, there's him, his wife, and two kids. And he went on to find out, you know, what his coverage would be and so forth. And he was denied. He was denied coverage with Obamacare. Now, I'm beginning to ask myself, who in the hell is going to get Obamacare? More and more people are coming out that they're being denied. You heard about the woman that called in, I forget what show, it may have been Glenn Beck, it may have been, not Sean, but the other one that they called into. But they went online, they applied. And with the vet, what happened to him was he didn't qualify, but they wanted him, he didn't qualify for the deductions, for the goodies, you know, the
subsidies, yeah.
He didn't qualify for any of that. So they came back to him, and they want him to pay, now I want you to listen to this, they want him to pay $500 a month for himself and his wife, that's $1,000, $500 a piece. For his kids, $400 a month for coverage for his kids. Now you tell me, that's $1,800 a month. Where is a Vietnam vet? He's not middle class. He's going to fall into the same category I fall in, broke and about to get broker. And how is that going to suffice with him? He's not going to be able to take it out, so they're going to fine him. That's like the woman that made $5,000 a year because she's a student. She can only work part-time. She didn't qualify either because she made too much money. Now, I haven't figured out where $500 a month is too much money yet. I want someone to explain that to me. I want someone riding around in their expensive cars. I'm not going to say Cadillacs. They don't have to be a Cadillac, just an expensive car, riding around. I want them to tell me how a person is supposed to qualify for this crap if they come back and want a woman who makes $5,000 a year, not a month, a year, to pay out $675, it's $475, I think, a month for her insurance coverage. Now, someone explain this to me. If you can explain this reasoning to me, please call in next week and explain it to us.
Well, I'm really hoping that now that we are not talking about this other stuff at this moment, and we'll talk about what's going to happen next on all this continuing resolution and the debt ceiling stuff. But now people are going to get to focus on Obamacare, and it's going to be interesting to see how much the lamestream media really reports, how much it's going to get censored out there as to what's really happening, even though if you're the one getting the mail, they can't stop that part. I mean, if it's your mail and you're getting told your policy is being canceled, it doesn't meet the standards and this and that, and you're going to have to get more insurance to meet it, whatever. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the next month. Let's see what happens by Thanksgiving.
this does fall in with the continuing resolution, because what we're talking about is they wanted Obama to give the American public the same rights, the same treatment, the same conditions as they had the unions, big business, Congress, the Senate. And, you know, they've let him off the hook. Big business has come, a lot of his buddies in big business has come to him and said, we can't afford this. We can't pay this much.
No, I wasn't saying it wasn't part of the it's definitely related to the continuing resolution. But right now, because of what they've done with this continuing resolution and the debt ceiling, the status quo is still in place. So, I mean, very little happened with Obamacare, except that they're going to verify whether someone's eligible or not or something stupid like that. So that's true. But now, because of the status quo of Obamacare is pretty much left intact, we're going to see what it really does to people. We're going to start seeing what really happens to people now that Obamacare is out there, and when they start getting all these letters and all this notice of what's going to happen to them and how much it's really going to cost them and who can't get coverage and all this kind of stuff. But we're not going to hear the real crunch of the resolution, the continuing resolution, or the debt ceiling until January, February, whenever, you know, how they push this all back, which is a whole other game. But the GOP better have a plan of action then. I mean, if the GOP is totally does the same kind of game then as they've done today where they caved in, then, again, this is why the GOP has to be put to rest. It's useless kind of thing. So, no, I totally agree. It's to that degree. But right now, if the status quo was still intact because they really didn't do anything, nothing substantial to change what's happening with Obamacare. And I'm hoping that enough people get bit in the ass, if I can use that expression, by Obamacare, and they're going to say, wait a minute, this isn't what it was supposed to be, and enough people, even those on the lower, are going to realize they don't have the insurance they think they have, that it's going to cost them so much more than what they were told it was going to do, and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what I'm hoping on that.
The GOP was looking at, and this is a problem we've got now, and going back and looking for your email, I found an email where, and this wasn't reported, people, another form of communism, another reason why, Cruz and Ryan and the others that had guts enough to stand up were fighting for us, which the news media was not going to let you know, was because, and this is communism, I didn't know this. The White House sent out the riot police to put our vets in line when they marched on the White House. They carried the barriers to the memorials up to the White House lawn, up to the gates. And Obama sent the riot police out to combat with them.
Yeah.
This is communism.
It is.
And this is why we're fighting, fighting Obamacare, because there's a lot of stuff in Obamacare that is not anything to do with health care. So they're fighting, and we have to stop this budget, because if we don't stop the budget with him having to give up some of this stuff out of Obamacare that's completely going to take this country into communism, then we've lost the game. And you have to support them.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying, and this is where it scares me about the GOP. Remember I used to say GOP, POG? If a GOP establishment is going to do the same thing then as it's doing now, because let's face it, when this all happens after the first of the year, you still got the same rhinos out there, the traitors, and the GOP. If they play the same game and they do not take a firmer stand and do something different, it's over. I don't know. That's the part that scares me, but this is where I really think it's right now for Americans to rally behind what Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and these, I mean, technically even Rubio was fighting it, but, we know where he is. But we really got to keep it up, keep the battle up, and say, you better do better next time. Or maybe, and some are even saying that they're actually wanting to incite, they were wanting to incite the veterans to riot so they would have the excuse to arrest them, to put some kind of martial law into place. This is how sick that White House is. But equally as sick are these two houses of Congress that go along with it. And I mean, it's really so pathetic.
But you're gonna have to bring the Senate in here.
So I said two houses of Congress, the Senate and the House. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't say it. When they hear Congress, they're thinking you're only talking about the
House of Representatives. Yeah, and
House of Representatives.
Be more careful. Yeah, two
right,
houses
because,
of Congress, the Senate.
Right, because that's what they were saying. I say, well, who are you talking about? Are you talking about the Senate? And the House of Representatives are, no, we're talking about the House of Representatives. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You've got two groups there who are responsible for this. When Harry Reid blocks anything that goes to his desk from being put up to a vote, they're senators. They're Democrats. And, this last election, we managed to get some people in there that were willing to fight, and this is what has to happen this time, these elections, because we're going up to elect senators.
Exactly. We've got senators. Mitch McConnell's got to be gone. He has got, and they do have a guy challenging him. I saw him on one interview. I think it was Glenn Beck. I can't remember now. But he was really good. And, these people have been too cushy. They've been too comfortable in these positions, thinking that they can do whatever they feel like, and the GOP establishment is going to rally behind them and let them keep going. But we have got to show that's not the case either. There's one thing I want to do, and hold any thought on that, because we've got about 15 minutes left here. There's something that just came through in my email that I got to say out there, not on the healthcare thing, but when we're talking communism, thinking of China always kind of comes into it. This is it was actually from this morning, but someone forwarded it to me. Examiner editorial, and if anybody wants to look up the article, GM got bailout, now shifts jobs to China. Okay? And I'm going to read just the very first part of this. U.S. flags are shown outside General Motors world headquarters in Detroit file photo from Saving General Motors from Bankruptcy. They didn't write that very good there. World headquarters in a Detroit file photo from Saving General Motors from Bankruptcy was among President Obama's most frequently cited achievements when he ran for re-election last year. Democrats everywhere touted... Democrats everywhere touted the company's revival as proof of the 2009 bailout's wisdom. That was then. Now Obama has quietly released the auto manufacturer from a bailout requirement that it increases its production in the U.S. Instead, General Motors is spending billions of dollars building up its production capacity in China. This is happening despite the fact that the Treasury Department has to date recovered just $36 billion of its original $51 billion loan to GM. By most analysts' prediction, American taxpayers will be out approximately $10 billion when the remaining stock is sold off, which is a long way of saying that it now appears the taxpayers paid $10 billion to make it easier for General Motors to accelerate its foreign outsourcing and to send more manufacturing jobs to China. Now, that's two paragraphs of it. There's more in here, but you know what? I will never buy another General Motors car.
Me either.
Communism, here it comes.
Well, but that was, and again, you have to be, people think I'm crazy. I watch everything that's going on, and if you can add two and two and come out with four, you're good, you're paying attention. That was part of it. That's the reason he did what he did.
Exactly.
That's what he did, what he did. He is sending, and this is part of the deal with China.
Yeah, it is. It's this is the meltdown of this country. This is the conversion of America to communism. And the same devious stuff, just like with this, you go back to the healthcare thing, it was always the intention to make it a universal single pay. So they're going to hose it up so badly, and because nobody read the bill, why read the bill and find out what's in it? Nobody read the bill, and because you had whatever you want to call the Democrats who were in at that time, a subservient to the king, Democrats, they went ahead and voted for this stuff, and now all the problems we're having is all to force a single-pay system, universal health care system, and destroy everything. And, the insurance companies went along with this. And, I've talked a little bit about that with some people. It's like, don't you find it kind of interesting that in the grand scheme of things, the insurance companies weren't really fighting much about it. Blue Cross Blue Shield was going to be one of the biggies. They were going to reap the rewards of easy money from the government. And you got United Healthcare, who's going to reap the rewards out there from the government and all this other stuff. So I really do find it interesting how little the insurance industry was protesting anything to do with Obamacare, because, again, it's going to guarantee them money, and we're the ones who are going to get stuck in every which way. It's just disgusting, and it's communism. People, America, would you please start using the C word, communism, and make sure you know what it means, because that's where we're at. You're losing all of your rights, and they're taking it, and you better just understand what's going on. Anyway, we still got 10 minutes left, but, yeah, it's communism. What part of communism do you not understand, people?
Well, I knew that. I said that back when it was all happening. It's funny to me, because I forget what it was that came up before, but during someone else's tenure, the insurance companies went ballistic. They fought for everything they could in order to stop whatever it was, and in my bogged up mind, I can't remember it. But they fought tooth and nail because they were going to lose money. I think it was when we wanted to open the state lines and let people be able to go out in different states and everything and get better prices on their insurance. I believe that, now my mind's opening up a little bit, I believe that's what it was. And
right.
The insurance company screamed.
Right.
But
right.
Suddenly, when all this took place, they didn't say anything. And I said, there's something fishy going on here. It doesn't equate. It doesn't make any sense. Where are the insurance companies? Why aren't they standing up and screaming? And I said then, they've got a finger in the pie.
Yep. Yep. We have been sold out in so many different ways, and it goes back to what I was kind of talking about at the very beginning of the show. When you, what happened with me in this other case,
right.
It all comes down to a society that has no principles, has no values, and then when you have no core values and of course not all of us are this way, but when as a society we've lost any kind of principles and core values of what is right and wrong and good and evil, then you go up to that next level with these people in power, it just goes crazy. Everything George Washington said, President Washington's farewell address, is right on point. It is to the T.
Well, when Nancy Pelosi, and you have to, when Nancy Pelosi can stand up and say, people say, we don't know what's in this bill. And when she has the audacity, the nerve, the gall, and how she got reelected, I do not know, to stand up and say, pass it, and then you'll find out. Well, it was strange to me. We have idiots up there that, and I'm going to call them idiots because they've got to be, that we put up there, we put into office, and I say we because I went down and voted for McConley, here in Texas, and he's now trying to cover his butt doing stuff that he wasn't doing before, sending me all these letters, and I know how he voted before, and now all he's doing is covering his ass, and I'm sorry, it's not right. That time of the show, I can say it. He's trying to cover his ass for what he did before. He knows we're on to him.
That's right.
But Nancy Pelosi to me, it was the perfect example of what communism is. Vote for it.
Exactly. Yeah, vote for it. You're going to do as you're told. You're not going to think about anything you're doing. You're not going, again, the mind has been so brainwashed and whatever you want to call it, dumbed down in America, where these people, and this is the Democrats who did this. We know that at that time, none of the Republicans voted to pass Obamacare. That part we do know at that point in time. So this was the Democrats who were doing this. And a Democrat, here you're going through making all these changes, and you're just going to trust that everything in there is good? You're not going to look at it? I mean, to me, that should be dereliction of duty as well. Talk about fiduciary duties and everything else. I mean, how could an American, a person who's in public office, be so stupid and say, well, I'll just sign anything they say. It's good. I haven't read it, but why would I want to read it? I trust Nancy Pelosi. I trust King Obama. Sure, they're Democrats. They're going to be right.
What can they do? You know.
Yeah.
But forgot it. Go to talking again. Maybe I'll remember when I was just before.
the nerve of them to just say sign it and that's all there is. I mean, there shouldn't the total outrage of those in office, those Democrats. She said, well, I need to be able to know this so I can tell my constituents I voted for it because I believed in it. They didn't believe in anything. They didn't know what it was. How could they possibly know it was in 2,000 pages, 3,000 pages, whatever it was, what it was when they never read it, and they're just going to assume it's all good because it's what came out of the White House? The whole idea of checks and balances is totally ignored and useless if you're just going to rubber stamp anything King Obama says. And then again, what do you have? King Obama, communism.
And talk about not upholding their duties. How this thing got passed was the Congress, the House of Representatives version of Obamacare did not get passed. The Senate drew up their own version and sent it through, and it got voted on, and it supposedly got passed. And this is what we're living under. This is what they did.
And, you know, I found out something. Remember how we've talked about and you brought it up several times, the Senate is not allowed to create the tax. The House of Representatives is the only one that can create or institute a new tax kind of thing. The
exactly.
Senate, it was unconstitutional. But here's what I found out they do. This is, again, to show the sleaziness, unprincipled evilness of what has become of this country, especially those in public office. What they do, and this is what they did to get McConnell's bill in there or to do what some of these other stupid games are playing, or I shouldn't say McConnell's one, but they literally would take the other bill and then carve it out in such a way, hollow it out. They'll still use the name, but everything in it's different. So it's truly a fraud on the people by every – that's all there is to it. It's definitely a fraud on the people because they took a bill from the House, hollowed it out, put all this other crap in it, and then sent it back. And that way they said they didn't create the bill. That's how they get away with it.
Well, my question here is why hasn't, you know me, I get upset. Why hasn't charges been brought and something done of this? It can stop it all. But again, no one has the courage. We don't have anyone up there in office that has the kahunas enough to stand up and do anything about anything.
Well, we're getting a little bit of courage up there. We're down to 1 minute right now, so we're going to have to wrap it up. But we are getting a few up willing to stand up and challenge the status quo, and it's really now for the American patriots to rally behind those people and keep them going, saying, yes, you're doing the right thing, and we're going to oust these deadbeats like Mitch McConnell out of office. These people have got to go. And if Rand Paul stands next to Mitch McConnell after this, any way, shape, or form stands next to him, I will no longer have any respect for Rand Paul either. And on that note, Ms. Texas, your last words?
Well, a sure sign of communism is not one word of what the president did to our veterans who were protesting against the being kept away from the monuments. Nothing was on the news. Nothing. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. See what you can come up with and tell me what was the good of that. God bless America. God bless Sally for all her hard work and everything she does. And, oh, God bless Florida.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you for tuning in. Please get engaged. It's up to the American patriots to take this country back. It's not going to happen by those people in office. And on that note, thank you, and we'll be talking to you on Monday. Have a good night.
Bye.